Okay, sorry guys. We're starting right now from Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, beginning of the fourth parak. The Mishnah says, "Arusa v'shomeres yavam lo shosos lo nos ksuva." An arusa and a shomeres yavam. Again, arusa is a man who is engaged to a lady, halachically engaged to a lady, and a shomeres yavam is a man who is waiting to marry his former brother's wife when she passed away. So these are two people, two relationships that they're not fully married yet, but they're waiting to finish and become fully married. In that stage of time, you cannot accuse your fiance or your future wife of having had an affair. Again, it mentioned in the Mishnah a few times ago, earlier in the prior parak, that if you already were going to give her waters to drink when you were allowed to have kinna, when you're allowed to make her sota, you can do amein, and make her make a shvu about that. Again, we started the mission on Chav Gimel Amud Beis, the beginning of the parak. So again, the Arusa and Shomeres Yavam are two ladies who a man has not yet fully married. Arusa, again, is when he's engaged to her. Shomeres Yavam is when he's waiting to marry her after his brother passed away with no children. We'll see in the Gemara later on which one of them is closer to being married, but neither one is fully married. And because they're not fully married yet, lo shosu lo ksuva. If there's an alleged affair, when you're concerned that before you married her, before you are married to her, you're not married yet, that she's been with someone else, you cannot make her a sota. I mean, she does not drink the mesota. She's not married to you yet. But also, and you can divorce her, and she does not accept the ksuva because she has done things that are inappropriate. Again, at this point in time, we're assuming you had kinna and you had stira, but you can't give her a drink because she's not fully your wife. So you did kinna. So it was a stira. But since you can't give her a drink, she doesn't drink. She's not your wife yet. But she also would get divorced, and she does not take her ksuba. And the pasuk Purush and Amar says, "Asher tistet isha tachas isha." It says when the lady strays from her husband, it's not her husband. Prat la rusa v'shomeres yavam. Since this is not her husband, so if there's a kina and there's a stira, then you have to stop the process right there. You can never get beyond that stage, and then they get divorced, and there is no collecting of ksuba. It's part one. Now we're going to bring down a few cases of people who should not be married but get married anyways. Can they become sotas or not? Amana le kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza le kohen hedjot. Again, a kohen gadol who's not allowed to marry a widow, or a widow does, or a regular kohen who's not allowed to marry a woman who's a grusha, who's divorced, or a chalutza, who, again, they didn't do even, but they did chalitz instead, which is similar to divorce, because the brother she's supposed to marry, he chose not to marry her, and therefore it's like they're divorced. So a kohen hedjot, a regular kohen, cannot marry them. A mamzeres v'nesina l'Yisrael. Mamzeres is a woman, a girl who's born, the female version of a mamzer, from an inappropriate relationship that was with Yechiv Karis when they were together, and the child born from that relationship is called a mamzeres. Or a nesina. Nesina, Rashi explains, is from what's called the Givonim. In the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, Yoshua is told to not make any peace treaties from the neighboring countries. He's going to have to kick them out or kill them. The Givonim were people who lived nearby, therefore they were not allowed to make peace treaties with them. But they tricked Yeshua to think they lived from far, they lived somewhere far away. He made a peace treaty with them, then realized later on that they tricked him, but he didn't go back on his word. But the rule is that we treat them in a certain way. They're not able to be part of our people. You can't, even if they convert, you cannot marry them. That's a nesina l'Yisrael. So a Jew, a male, cannot marry a female nasin. The Givonim mentions now people who tricked Yeshua from those people, and cannot marry a female mamzeres. And the opposite is true. Bas Yisrael can't marry a mamzer or a nasin. And if they do, lo shos lo ksuva, they do not, and you accuse them while you're married to them of being a sota, of there's kin, there was stira. So you're never going to be able to get them to drink the mesota, because again, mesota is reserved for appropriate marriages. This is an inappropriate marriages. Rashi over here, it's got to be ru'uy le'ishus, someone who's fitting to be married to you, and this is not. These are not those types of people. And therefore, they do not drink the mesota. And also, they can't collect the ksuba because they were the ones who were responsible. Normally, there are many people in this list over here, like Rashi points out, the man of the kohen gadol, you shouldn't marry them. But if you do, and you divorce her, she gets the ksuba. But over here, you don't get the ksuba. Why? Because their behavior disqualified them from being able to be with you. It's kin and the stira. And they already are... And therefore, if you can't give them the drink, then they don't collect the ksuva either. Right now, we're in the third line from the top in the Mishnah. Third line from the top in the Mishnah. Over here says the Mishnah, as follows. A new case. Ha'omeris tamei ani. Again, third line from the top. Chav Zalman Aleph. Ha'omeris tamei ani. If a woman says, I'm tamei, v'shabola, edim she tamei, or edim that she's tamei. Ha'omeris in ishosa, or she says, I'm not drinking. These are all three cases. Oh, sorry, I skipped the line. Ve'elu.
I skipped the line.
My bad. Second line from the top of Daf Chav Zalman Aleph. We're in the Mishnah right now. We started the Mishnah a few minutes ago. We're starting right now the second line, a new part. Ve'elu lo shos lo no suva. There we have a list right now of people, not based upon who they are as far as being a mamzeres or a nusin or a shomeres yavim or a rusad, but people, regular lady, that there are certain women who do not drink mesota and can't collect the ksuva either. And they are omeres tamei ani. She says, I'm tamei. I did it in the middle of the process. She admits to doing it. Shabalo edim she tamei, or edim come along and say she did it. Or Omeris in Ichosa, she says, I'm not going to drink the waters. She doesn't admit she did it. I'm not going to drink the waters. Those are all ladies because of what they say. Again, they're regular women who are allowed to be married to their husbands. They're not like these Shomeris Yavim cases where they're pre-marriage. They're not like an Ammana for Kohen Gadol where they shouldn't be married. Regular women who marry their husbands. But in the process, the process is paused in the middle for reasons we just mentioned. She says, I'm guilty. Or Aiden says she did it. Or she says, I'm not going to drink it. So again, there also we say they don't drink and they don't get the ksuva either. But Amar Bala Eni Mashke, Ushabala Bala Bederech, no los ksuba veloshosos. But in the case when also when you can't finish the process, but it was partly the husband's fault. Like the husband says, I'm not going to give her a drink. So he pauses the process. Or the husband sleeps with her on the way when they're traveling to the base in the Gadol Shabu Yerushalayim. It's already kin, already stira. It's us to be together, and he can't hold himself back and he sleeps with her. So those two cases we say the Baal was guilty. Baal was the reason why the waters will not work anymore. And therefore, you cannot be together. She does not drink the waters, but she still does get to collect the ksuva. New case. Mesu ba'alein ad shelo shasu. What happens in the following case? Again, Mishnah over here, Chavda al Aleph, that's seven lines from the top of the page. A man dies. He accuses his wife of being a sota. There's kinnah stira. And before they drink the waters, he dies. What happens now? Meaning, can she collect the ksuva or not? Usually when a woman is widowed, she collects the ksuva from her husband. Can she collect the ksuva or not? Veshami omrim, no los ksuva v'loshosos. Veshami says she can. She does not drink the waters. The waters are there only to be checking to let her go back to her husband to be married to him again, be with him intimately again. That's not shaykh. The husband has died. But since the process cannot be continued, and it was not because she said, I don't want to drink at all, but he died. So it's like if he says, I'm not giving her a drink, we know that she collects the ksuva. Veshami says over here as well, she gets the ksuva if her husband dies, and he has not yet given the sota waters. Of course, she does not drink it. There's no reason to drink anymore because the waters were only drank for the purpose of them staying together as a couple. But he still argue. He still omrim no. Oh, shosos, oh, lo, no, los ksuva. If you don't drink, you don't get a ksuva. And since you're not going to drink over here, so then there's no ksuva to be collected. They still b'shamir argue. If the husband dies before she drank the waters, can she collect the ksuva? Basil Shama says yes. Basil says no. Okay. Says the Gemara further. Mishnah further. Muberes chaveru mekas chaveru. Here's an interesting case over here. A muberes chaveru, a man who married a woman who's pregnant, or he married a woman who's nursing. Menekas is the nurse, and muberes is pregnant. So you marry someone who's pregnant or nursing from your friend already, meaning your friend was married to her, not your friend per se, but another person was married to her, not you, and you got divorced, or the guy died, and she's pregnant, or she's nursing from that person's child. The halacha is, Rashi quotes, you should wait 2 years till the child's finished nursing before you remarry somebody else. For different reasons, we want you not to neglect the other person, the other baby. You don't want you to focus too much on your new husband and forget about the child that you're trying to be taken care of and giving birth to. So because that's the case, we say you shouldn't get married for 2 years. If you do, and you violate that rule, and you get married within the 2 years that you shouldn't, do you, and that now the new husband accuses you of being a sota, what happens in that case? Do we assume that you can drink the mesota? Or not. Says the Mishnah, Muberes chaveru, mekas chaveru, lo shos, lo nos ksuva. Once again, you shouldn't have married her in the first place. You did. You cannot accuse her of being a sota if you do. I mean, you can. If you do, she does not drink the mesota, and she does not take the ksuva when you divorce. So that's what Rabbi Meir said. Rabbi Meir. The Chum Omrim, Chum say, no, you can't. Yachul lafrisha, lachzir lacherzman. She's not a forbidden lady to you. The first cases we had of the Ammana for the Kohen Gadol, Krusha Chalutza Kohen Hedjot, or Mamzeres Venusin, or Mamzeres Venusin, or Mamzeres Venusina, those are inappropriate marriages, Bechlal. You cannot marry that person at all. But here we're saying, it's a person who right now, in this stage, in this period of game, you shouldn't marry her, but you did marry her, okay? Not the same thing as the last people that we mentioned. you're able to, since you're able to separate from her and to remarry her after a period of time, you're allowed to then also make her into a sota and she drinks the waters. Again, whether you actually have to separate from her or not, it doesn't sound like you do in this case, meaning you do, you should have, but you can, the sota process can begin right now since she's not a woman forbidden to you in general, just you were premature in having her right now. And therefore, right now, you should, you know, it's inappropriate to be together. But if you already were together and you accused her of being a sota, though you shouldn't marry her in the first place, it's not a woman who's off limits to you in general, because you can separate and remarry her. Therefore, the sota waters also can be given over, and she can be she can drink the mace sota waters. That's what the chacham holds against Rabbi Meir's opinion. Another scenario: Ilonis v'zikena she'ena ruya leilid, v'she'ena ruya leilid. Three women. Ilonis is a lady who never really fully turns into a lady. What does that mean? She has female genitalia. She does not have male genitalia, but she doesn't have breasts. She doesn't have a proper womb. Her voice is very deep. She's basically infertile from birth. She's not a typical lady. She's an infertile lady. Maybe you call her like an XXY. There's like people who are born who have some male hormones and they cannot give birth. They're female, but they cannot give birth. That's an Ilonis. A Zakena is someone who's aged out of having children. And an Eni Rui Leilid is someone who, says Rashi, who she was born fertile, but she took some medication or some other event happened to her and she became infertile later on in life. These women, a man should not marry, at least not a man who wants to have children, because a man is chayv and peruvu to have kids. These women cannot help him have kids. And therefore, the man should marry a woman who can help him have kids. And these are not among those ladies. And therefore, it says the commission over here, that if you marry a lady like that, which is inappropriate, again, they do not take a ksuva, and they also do not drink the mesota if they're accused of being a sota, because once again, these are marriages that should not have been in the first place. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Eliezer says no. Like the Chum said beforehand, you're allowed to marry these ladies. How? You can marry a different lady and have children with her. Meaning, it's true these ladies cannot help you have children, but another lady can. You're allowed to marry more than one wife back in the day, and therefore, it's not inappropriate to marry a woman like these. Now, maybe nowadays it's a little different, because nowadays you're not supposed to marry more than one wife, but back in the day when you can marry more than one wife, so to marry an infertile lady wasn't terrible. You could marry her, and you could you know, be a great husband to her, and you could have children with other people. We know, for example, not that that's happened in the end, but Chana was married to a man named Elkanah, and so was a woman named Penina. Now, of course, Chana was fertile. We just didn't know at the time. She wasn't able to have kids right away. But even if you knew she couldn't have kids, but still, Elkanah could marry Penina. And therefore, Chana could be a loving wife to him, and he could be a loving husband to her. But they can't have kids, but he has kids with some other wife. So therefore, Rabbi Lazar holds that even if your wife can't have children, because she's an islandess, Zakena, or Ainu Rilelade, you can still marry her, because you can marry somebody else and have kids with them. And therefore, these women are not off limits to you. And therefore, they can become sotas in full. You get them to drink the waters if they accuse them of being a sota. Okay. Vishar Kol Nashim. Anyone else besides the list we have over here, besides all the people that we've mentioned just now that you should not marry, that are inappropriate to marry for different reasons? Oshosos Olonos Ksuva. You have two choices, those women. So the process begins. They can either drink the mei sota, or they can't get a ksuva. But again, that's up to them. They can choose to not drink it, but they don't collect the ksuva if they become a sota, and they have to get divorced. H.S. Kohen Shosa Umateris Labala. A woman who's married to a Kohen can drink Mesota and is allowed to be with her husband if she's found to be innocent. The Gemara later on will tell us what the Chiddush over here is. H.S. Saris Shota, a woman who's married to a man who's a Saris. A Saris is someone who's impotent, who's not able to, after they get married, he became unable to have relations. So if a woman is married to that man and he accused her of being a sota, she still drinks the mesota. Again, the Gemara later on will describe to us why we need the chiddush to tell us that din. Again, a man who can no longer have children, he's impotent, he can't have relations anymore. His wife would still need to drink the mesota, or able to drink the mesota if he accused her of being a sota. Mishnah now says, Alidei kol arayos mekanin chutz min hakatan. Any person who you're jealous of, you can do kinoi to about, including the woman's father, the woman's brother. You can say, I'm jealous of how you look, how your father and you are acting together. I suspect foul play. I'm jealous of how you and your brother are acting. I suspect foul play. That is a kina. You can be mekana all the arayos, anyone. Chutz min a katan, but not someone who's not of age yet. If they're not of age yet, we'll see what katan means very soon. But assuming, let's say, presume right now, we assume that they're not bar mitzvah yet, then you cannot be mekan to them. Mimisha eno ish, or someone who's not a man. What does that mean? The Gemara will get to it later on. Cannot be mekan to someone who's not a man. Ve'elusha beizin mekan in lahen. There's actually a new case we have right now, the Mishnah says, of people who beizin will play the role of the Baal, and will be mekana instead of the Baal. We'll say, this person over here, you should not be alone with in the room anymore, and the Baal's not going to do it. They do it for the Baal. Who are these people that Beis Din can do kinoy on behalf of the Baal? Mishin is charish Baala, o nishtata, o shaya chavosh Beis Asurim. A person whose husband, if a man, the Baal became nischarish, became a deaf mute. He's no longer able to fully communicate and understand things. So that person, Beis Din, if they see some foul play, can come on behalf of the Baal and say, there's a kinna, an official kinna from Beis Din for you and this man. Or in Ishtata, where the man became insane. He can hear, he can talk, but he became crazy. Also, again, a Beis Din can step in and if they see foul play to call it out and say there's an official kinna being registered here. And the last one is, again, someone who's locked in jail. He's locked up in jail. He can't see what's happening around him. He can't see how his wife has been hanging out with another man. He can't see that. He doesn't notice it. But Beis Din does notice it. And they can, in fact, give a warning, a kinna, on behalf of the husband. Now, the Mishnah here says, when we say you can give a warning, lo lashkosa amru, that's not meaning that you can't give a warning, and that warning, if she violates it now, she drinks the mesota. If she has stira with edim, drinks mesota. They don't have that ability. It's got to be from the husband, dafka. What does it mean then that you give a warning? Laposla b'ksubasa. It means that if she commits the crime and she has stira with someone else, then they get divorced. And she loses her ksuba. That's what the warning does for on behalf of the Baal. The Baal now, if she acts out and she's alone with this man that the Beis Din say she's hanging out with a lot, then she will lose the ksuba from that man. Rabbi Yossi argues. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you could even get to a state if Beis Din gives the warning that the husband can give her that she can't end up drinking mesota. Rabbi Yossi Omer af lashkosa because she ought to be Baal Beis Asur and Ishkana even could be after the fact when the husband comes out of jail, if she there was kinna from Beis Din, and she had stira with that guy, when the husband comes out of jail, he can then bring her to the Beis Din of Yerushalayim and give her the mesota. Again, he has to be the one who brings it to her, to bring her as the sota to drink. But if he comes out of jail and he wants to, and there's already been a kinna and a stira, then in fact he can give her to drink. That's a very long Mishnah, half of our learning for today. Let's go to the Gemara now that we're going to analyze. Mishnah Udlo Shasya Hakinoi Maknila. The Mishnah started off one more time. Mishnah started off over here and said that an Arusa and a Shemeres Yavam, again, are two ladies that you're not fully married to yet. An Arusa is someone you're engaged to. Shemeres Yavam is someone that you're waiting to marry. Your brother passed away, Nebuch, and had no kids, and you're going to marry the wife. It says over there that you cannot, if you accuse her right now before you're married of committing a crime, you cannot give her to drink the mesota. And she does not collect the ksuva, but they have to break up their marriage through a get or the shemeres yavim through chalitza. Says the Gemara, what's implied in that first line we read again in the Mishnah is mishtu lo shasya haknuye maknila. You can't give her a drink, but you can do kinna. You can go through the process, the start of the process, and you do kinna. And if you do kinna to a shemeres yavim or to an arusa, to a lady you're waiting to fully marry, and that kinna is a valid kinna, that's considered a proper kinna, and then she does stira, then she would be considered a sota. Again, she cannot drink the mesota, but she loses the ksuva, and they get divorced. But it means you can do kinna. I mean, not immediately. How do you know? I mean, what's a source you can do kinna to a woman that you can't actually end up doing the whole process of sota with? I remember, we learned a brisa, that Barel b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem, to speak to b'nei Yisrael and to tell them. The amarta aleihem apparently is seems to be an extra lashon. B'nei Yisrael. And they go on, ish. Why is it amarta aleihem? It's coming to include an extra scenario where you could become a sota in part of the process, arusa shemeres yavam, that you can warn them, and if they are alone with another man, they become usher as a sota, but they can't drink the waters. The extra of amar talayim is learning out. There's an additional people you tell over the sota rules to, sota will apply to, that are not typical marriages, and those are the arusa and shemeres yavam. So once again, you're allowed to give a warning to an arusa, a woman you're engaged to, or a shemeres yavam, a woman that you're waiting to marry because it's your brother's ex-wife. Your brother passed away without having kids. You're allowed to give a warning to them. And if they're stira, they're usher to you. You cannot give them the mesota to drink. but you divorce them and they, or you do chalitza and they do not get a ksuva. Okay. The rabbi is coming to include arusa v'shemeres yavam l'kinui. It's coming to include that arusa v'shemeres yavam can be made to have kina, to be jealous, and that will start the process off. Who must need some money? Who's our Mishnah like? Rabbi Yonasan hates Rabbi Yonasan's opinion. The Mishnah that says both arusa and shemeres yavam do not drink the mesota, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan. Time learn a brisa. Tachas isheich. The pasuk says that you, the pasuk inside for you, it says va'at kisatis tachas isheich. Since you you strayed from under your husband, says the Gemara, the word husband tachas isheich means a husband, and a husband means prat larusa. It means not an engaged person. An engaged lady is not your husband. She's your fiance. You're not a husband and wife yet. And therefore, when it says that you've strayed from under your husband, that's not including an arusa. Meaning an arusa would not be someone you can give the mesota to. And maybe you'll tell me, yachol shani motzi af shemeres yavam. Maybe you'll even tell me that a shemeres yavam, that a person you're waiting to marry, also is not considered your husband. And therefore also cannot become a sota fully. Tamil Omar says, no, it can be a sota. Ish, ish. It says the word ish, ish twice. It says the word again. The Rebbe about to him. Ish, ish means any man. It's coming to be mirab. It's coming to include a scenario. What's it coming to include? The Shemeres Yavam. That's the Rebbe Yoshia. So Rebbe Yoshia says, again, he's not the author of the Mishnah. Rebbe Yoshia, it would not make sense in our Mishnah. He says that an arusa cannot become a sota fully. She cannot drink the mesota. But a Shemeres Yavam can drink the mesota. Ish, ish means that she be allowed, we're adding on a Shemeres Yavam, who apparently is more like a husband and wife than an Arusa. And we'll see why in the Gemara very soon. Shemeres Yavam is more like a husband and wife than Arusa is. And therefore, Ish Ish comes to include that they can drink Mesota. Josh, you had a question or no?
Yeah, what's Shemeres Yavam?
Shemeres Yavam is when you have a man who's married to a woman and he dies before they have kids. So this person's Yibum. Brother, it's called Yibum. Shemeres Yavam is when they're waiting to do Yibam. They're waiting. Shemeres is like kind of waiting for it. Like they're engaged, kind of, but not really. But they're waiting to Yibam at that point in time. But in that point in time, he's jealous of her. He thinks that she's having an affair right now. So there we say, the Mishnah over here says that she cannot become a full-fledged Sota. You can do Kina, and if there's Stira, she's like a Sota, but you don't give her a drink.
Rabbi Yoshi, sorry, what's Kina?
Kina means like you accuse her of, right, the first part of Sota, you accuse her of being, you're worried, you're jealous. You're jealous of being with another man. And you say, if you're alone with another man in the room, that would be a problem to me. That's called kinna, right? And stira is when they are alone in the room together. That's the very first mission we had in Maseches Sota, if you remember. Kinna and stira are the two parts that we have of Sota to become a Sota. So over here we have again right now, Rabbi Yoshia says that you cannot give an arusa, an engaged woman, to drink from the waters. Because it says over here, tachas yisheich. Only if she's straight under her husband, and an engaged person is not married yet. But a Shomeres Yavam is already further along in the process. We'll see why very soon. And therefore, you can, it's still considered husband-like to give mesota. That's not the author of the Mishnah. That's Rabbi Yoshi's opinion, but it does not make sense. In our Mishnah, the Mishnah over here says both Shomeres Yavam and an Arusa both are not able to be given the sota waters. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Rabbi Yonasan, who we say is the author of the Mishnah, he says, Tachas Isheich, means proudly Shemeres Yavam. It says the words that you strayed from under your husband means your husband you strayed from, as opposed to the Shemeres Yavam. It's coming to exclude a Shemeres Yavam. Proud means to exclude. A Shemeres Yavam, again, someone who you're waiting to fully marry, would not be someone that you can become a sota in the end to. Otsi Shemeres Yavam, v'lo otsi es arusa. Maybe you'll tell me that I'm only excluding a Shemeres Yavam, but I'm not excluding an arusa, that an arusa really could drink mesota. No. Even that we say you exclude. Talmud Omar Asher Tiste Isha Tachas Isha. It says the word Tachas Isheich in one place, and again it says Tachas Isha in another place. Means there's two non-husbands yet you're excluding. We first excluded the less husband-like person, which is the Shemeres Yavam, and we'll see why it's less husband-like in a minute, according to Rabbi Yonasan. And then we did a second lashon that says Tachas Isha, which included even the Arusa. So Rabbi Yoshio is left right. So Rabbi Yoshio over here assumes again that we only say that that an Arusa cannot drink the Mesota, but a Shemeres Yavam could drink the Mesota. It's more husband-like. However, Rabbi Yonasan says, no, actually Shemeres Yavam is less husband-like, but neither one's a full husband. And since the Torah tells us two separate times, one time Tachas Isheich, and one time Tachas Isha, her husband. So therefore, it excludes two women. It excludes the Shomeres Yavam and excludes the Arusa. They're both excluded. That's over here how to understand our Mishnah and Rabbi Yonasan being the author of the Mishnah. Again, if you look over here, that each person, meaning Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia, both felt that someone else was quicker to be excluded as a husband. Meaning, again, we have either someone you're engaged to or someone that you're supposed to marry because your brother passed away and had no kids. One of them is more husband-like than the other one. Rabbi Yoshia said that the one who's a Shomeres Yavam is more husband-like. And that's why a Shomeres Yavam can become a Sota. That's why Rabbi Yoshia is not the author of the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonasan felt that an Arusa is more husband-like. And that's why we needed a second pasuk to exclude an Arusa. If you only had one pasuk, we would have excluded only a Shomeres Yavam, because he's less husband-like than Arusa. What's shot with that? So let's see inside. Mar alima le Arusa. Mar, meaning one person over here referring to Rabbi Yoshia. Sorry, Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan is Mar in the first Mar. Rabbi Yonasan, alimale, he feels it's stronger. The Arusa connection, the fiance connection is stronger, closer to being married than the Shomeres Yavam. Why? He says the kiddushay di day. Number one, it was his choice to get married to this woman, to get engaged to this woman. So first of all, that's one step, is that he already did an action to start the process off. And number two, sokol yado. If you have an affair while you are engaged, the woman is chayav skila. So you killed for committing a crime. Must be you're very closely attached to this man, and therefore we see right now that there is in fact a almost married relationship when the person's engaged. As opposed to the case of the Shomeres Yavam, there, it's not nothing that you did. You didn't choose to do this. And if you have an affair while you're waiting, it's just a low tossing. You can even marry him later on, according to everyone except for Rabbi Akiva we had earlier on. You can even marry her later on. So there's no Misa in that case. So it's less married. That's one opinion. Umar, which is Rabbi Yoshia, Umar Alim Le Shomeres Yavam. He feels Shomeres Yavam is more married than a fiance. Why? Because you're not lacking, you don't have to give her over. Masira is to be moser, Masira to hand over. You don't have to mix her, means to missing. You're not missing the handing over to the chuppah. When it comes to a proper marriage for husband and wife the first time, it's not a yibam. You have to have what's called chuppah in order to marry them. It's part of the process, the chuppah process. Here, you don't need that. In the case of the Shomeres Yavam, as long as you sleep together, as long as you have relations, that makes you married even without a Masira l'chuppah. And therefore, less steps are required to make it a full-fledged marriage. If you think about it, there's reasons why Shomeres Yavam is more married. Less steps are required to make you full-fledged husband and wife. There's reasons why an Arusa is more married, because he already did something to the girl to start the process off. And if she would have an affair right now, she'd be Chayav Misa, which is more husband-like than the Shomeres Yavam, which is only low tase. So we see over here each person has a different way of reading the what's more serious to violate, a Shomeres Yavam or an Arusa. But either way, Rabbi Yoshia only learns out that an Arusa would be disqualified from drinking the Mesota, but a Shomeres Yavam would still drink the Mesota in theory. In a case when he accused her while there's Shomeres Yavam currently of having an extramarital affair, he's jealous of her. And Rabbi Yonasan would say both of them do not drink the Mesota. That's the Mishnah we had, would be like Rabbi Yonasan. Okay. Rabbi Yonasan. Let's talk about Rabbi Yonasan for a second. Rabbi Yonasan, this pasuk over here of Ish, my Avilei. Rabbi Yonasan said that both Arusa and Shomeres Yavam are both disqualified from being given the Sota waters. But we did mention the word Ish, Rabbi Yoshi quoted earlier, is including something we wouldn't have thought should be able to become a Sota. Ish means man and man, meaning we're saying multiple people, people that you wouldn't have thought so even, are able to become Sotas. So what is, again, Rabbi Yoshi said that coming to include the Shomeres Yavam. But according to Rabbi Yonasan, who says Shomeres Yavam and the Arusa are not included in the Mesota, then what does Ish come to include? Hi, Ish, my Avile, what does he do with those words? What does he learn from those words to include someone else that you wouldn't have thought could become a Sota in the end? Yibayle, the Rabos, Eishas Cheresh, the Eishas Shota, the Eishas Shiamum. It's coming to include, we said in the Mishnah earlier on, that Beis Din is able to make someone a Sota, even if the husband was a Cheresh, a deaf mute, or a Shota, or a crazy, or a Shiamum also is a form of insanity. Also, it's unclear what it means. Maybe he has terrible depression, and he's like completely, he's not functioning. Whatever it is in the end, it's some other level of like mental health problems. So there we said in the Mishnah that a Beis Din is able to act on, in proxy on behalf of the Baal and warn her and do the whole kinyan process. That's the chiddush of Ish Ish, says Rabbi Yonah's son. Rabbi Yonah's son says that Ish Ish teach me that even Beis Din can come in and create a sota from a person whose husband is not fully functioning. That's the chiddush of Ish Ish. Fine, so now I understand that Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonah's son both hold that Ish Ish is a riboy, comes to include something. Rabbi Yonah's son says it comes to include the Beis Din case when they can make someone a sota by defending or challenging a relationship for the husband who was a cherish or a shota. And Rabbi Yoshia says Ish Ish comes to include a Shomeres Yavam that he can, in that case, when he warns her that she may drink the mesota in the end, for based on the words Ish Ish, and therefore he's not the author of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yonah's son would be, not him. Rabbi Yoshia only learned out Tachas Ishech to exclude an Arusa. But Tachas Isha, he didn't learn anything out from him. So we want to understand better. There's two words, again, that two parts of Pesukim that seem to suggest it has to be your husband and not somebody else. Tachas Ishech and Tachas Isha. Again, Tachas Ishech, Rabbi Yoshia said, means not an Arusa. But Ish Ish meant, yes, a Shomer Shavim. Rabbi Yonah's son says, Tachas Ishech means not a Shomer Shavim. And Tachas Isha means not an Arusa. Rabbi Yoshia didn't learn anything from Tachas Isha. So Rabbi Yoshia, hi, top of Chav Dalam Beis. Hi, Tachas Isha, my Abed Le. What does he do from the words, instead of you strayed from away from your husband, what does he do with those words? Bailei, lahakish ish le'isha, v'isha le'ish. The word when it says Tachas Isha, it's the word Ish and Isha together. And we'll see later on the Gemara in Daf Chav Zayin, the Gemara is going to explain that we compare rules of Ish and Isha together because of the pasuk of Tachas Isha. Again, we're not going to do it right now, but we are going to make a special hekesh between Ish and Isha, that Chavs Ayman Aleph, as to where the sota actually applies to, what kind of men, what kind of women, as far as their different physical, maybe handicaps and the like. So that's why it says Tachas Isha. It's coming to connect the rules of an Ish to a rules of an Isha. But it does not come to include a Shomeres Yavam. Okay. So now the Gemara over here points out, it says the following. We right now understand that we have machlokes between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonah's son, whether or not an Arusa is usher to become drink Beisota, or even a Shomeres Yavam is usher to drink Beisota. What they do share in common is that neither one of them will drink the Beisota in the end. And we brought down Sukkim to prove it. It says the Gemara, one second. Elataima dechsivi hanikrai. It seems to be the reason why we say that an Arusa and a Shomeres Yavam do not drink Beisota is because we have Sukkim. We have these cries, psukim, that tell us that they do not go through the process and drink mesota. Halav hachi, had it not been for these psukim, hava mina arusa shasya. We would therefore think that an arusa should drink the mesota. Meaning that everyone in the end agrees that the arusa does not drink the mesota. Everyone agrees that they do not. Shemeres Yavam, we have machlokas whether it drinks mesota or not. Rabbi Yoshia says she does. Rabbi Yonasan says she does not. But either way, we learn out the miyutim, that they don't drink mesota, from psukim. That would imply that without those psukim, we would think, the ones that we quoted, we would think that she does drink the mesota. What do you mean? Vaki asa Rabbi Acha bar Chanina midaroma. When Rabbi Acha bar Chanina came from the south, asa va'aisi masnisa biyadei. He came and he brought with him a teaching in his hands. And here's the teaching that he brought with him in his hands. Mibaladei ishech. It says that you slept with someone. Mibaladei ishech means other than your husband. And we learn out over here, other than your husband, mishakidma shchivas baal leboel. Lo shakidma shchivas baal leboel. It says, when there was sota apply, only when there was first a shechiva baal, when the husband slept with her. That had to come first before the boel, before the adulterer slept with her. But if they were married, let's say, but for some reason they never consummated their marriage, and she has an affair, there we would say there is no sota process. She cannot be given the drink. But lo shekid mashchivas boel baal, not in the case when the boel slept with her, meaning the adulterer slept with her before she slept with her husband. And therefore, it's our question right now, that when it comes to an arusa, when it comes to a woman who's engaged, she has not yet had a relationship with her husband yet. They've set aside their commitments to each other. He gave her maybe a kesef or a shtar, but usually not bia yet. And therefore, with the following kasha, an arusa, most women who are arusas have not had sex yet with their fiance. And therefore, it should not, if they have, is an affair then, that's the reason why you should not give her the sota waters. Again, our Gemara we read in Daf Chaf Dalam and Aleph implied that the reason you don't give her sota waters is because of psukim that limit, tachas isha, whatever it might be. But over here we're saying a new word, mibalde isheich, which means that if you have not yet consummated your marriage, which again we assume that an arusa, that a fiance has not yet consummated because they're not married yet. Therefore, if a boel would sleep with her before the baal would, then you could not do the mesota, because it says in the pasuk, you have strayed from underneath for someone other than your husband, which means you've been with your husband already, and you're with someone else now. But if you were not with your husband yet, you certainly would not give her the mesota. That's a kasha. That's a kasha. Even the pasukim we had earlier, if they were not in there, you would still say an arusa should be someone you can't give mesota to. Not from the pasukim we brought earlier, from a different pasuk. So I'm Rami Barchama. We find a case. You can actually have a scenario where the arusa has consummated this relationship. You can go in Shabbat, arus beis chavia, where the arus, the engaged, the fiance, has already slept with her. I slept with her already in the house of her father. We have this in Mesechus Pesachim as well, right? Kabbalah Rosh Hashanah Beis Chamav. You could have a woman who a man sleeps with his fiance before it's the right time, prematurely. That could happen. If that happens, what does that mean? Now you've been with somebody else. Now she has had a relationship with her quote-unquote husband, with her fiance. And therefore, when she sleeps with the bowl afterwards, it would have been after the fiance. And now you could make her a sota, in theory, had not been the pasukim we quoted beforehand. If you didn't say the word tachas isha, tachas isheich, then you could have thought that in a scenario when a woman has had relations with her fiance, so inappropriately so, that would now make it mibal de isheich, and therefore she could have been a sota, had it not been for the pasuk that says tachas isheich. Tachas isheich means it's got to be really her full-fledged husband and not her her engaged fiance. Now, go back for 1 second. This is kind of something we have up to now. We'll finish the last few lines right now also, but let's go back to what we just said. The Mishnah said the following psak. The whole rule in the Mishnah is that a shomeris yavam and an arusa that you accuse, that you say, I'm jealous of you, and they end up going alone together in a room, the person you're jealous of her being with, and we don't know what happened there. Says the Mishnah that we do not give them mesota. Why not? Why don't you give them mesota? What's the reason why, boys? Why don't you give these ladies mesota, waters to drink in the end? They became a sota, but you can't get the waters to drink. Why not? Who remembers?
They're not fully married.
Good. What's the word in the pasuk? Remember Aaron or no?
Is it Alehem?
Not Alehem. What's the word in the puzzle that says over here that you don't give them? Alehem is how we know that barely. Mat Alehem is how we know that you're allowed to even do kina with them. How we know that you can't actually do sota with them, the sota waters. Remember, Aaron?
It's tachas isha.
Go tachas isheich or tachas isha. Either there's one of them, which only excludes the arusa, or there's two of them, which excludes both arusa and the shomeris yavam. That's what the Rabbi Yoshia says, and that's the Mishnah says. Sorry, that's what the Mishnah says. That's what Rabbi Yonasan says. Rabbi Yoshia says, no. It's only tachas isheich. It's only the arusa, not shomeris yavam. But the question is, how can an arusa even become usher from as a sota? After all, in order to become usher as a sota, there has to have been already a consummation of a relationship. You have to have already had slept with your kala, and an arusa doesn't do that yet. So even without the words tachas isheich or tachas isha, we should still say that you can't give the mesota waters to the arusa because they haven't been together. It's like, Gemara, what if they were together? Inappropriate, they were together, but they were together already. If they were together, then we would say that he slept with her in the house of the father, of her father, I mean, of his fiance, of his future father-in-law. Like we had him in Sechus Pesachim. You eat matzah, Erev Pesach, like a bowl, a rusasa, beis chamav. If you do that maisa, that would make you now prohibited that would now, in theory, allow you to give her the mesota, because now you've been together. But we say you still don't, because of tachas isheich or tachas isha. Okay, now that works for the arusa, but how about the shomeris yavam? How does it work there? Because in theory, if you think about it, a shomeris yavam, the moment we say you don't need a chuppah, shomeris yavam, if you sleep with a girl at all, you're married fully. So how could it be that you slept with her right now, but you're still called shomeris yavam? Doesn't make any sense at all, says the Gemara. The kavasa, in a similar fashion, means like this. If you take the arusa case, we just said you sleep with her prematurely. Like that case, Gabi Shemeres Yavam. What's the case when you have a Shemeres Yavam? Going Shabbat Le Yavam Bebeis Chamiya? Tell me the case would be when you sleep with her while she's still in her father's house. You're not yet married to her. Doesn't make any sense. When it comes to an Arusa, so there, you're right. There, the rule is that If you sleep with her, but it's not given the chuppah yet, then that's considered a premature sleeping, and you're not married yet. When it comes to a yavam, we assume that if you sleep together, you're fully married. So if you have to sleep together in order to become a sota, once you do that, though, you're not a shomer yavam anymore. You're now called a baal, a husband. So how could you ever have a shomer yavam who would even have be able to be in the parsha of sleeping of accusing his wife of being a sota? Where we call Mishmeres Yavam. By that point in time, he has to have slept with her already, then he's called a Baal. So again, something more here says what it's case. Shabbal Leb, Ayavam Beis Chamiya, HaShemeres Yavam Karisla. We called it a Shemeres Yavam, but it's Ishto Mal Yasahi. At that point in time, you're a full-fledged wife. Not called Shemeres Yavam anymore. If you slept with your Shemeres Yavam, with the Shemeres Yavam in advance, that makes you a Baal. You can have a person who's engaged, sleeps with his fiance, is not called a husband yet, because there was no chuppah yet. It was done at his nus. That could happen. But a Shemeres Yavam, the moment he sleeps with her, no matter what, it's considered now a full-fledged husband. The Amar Rav Kana L'Kol. Because after all, Rav said that if a Yavam sleeps with a girl, they're now fully married, no matter what the mindset of the Baal was. Even if it was a mistake, he thought it was someone else. Slept with her, but it was Shemeres Yavam. They're now fully married. That's the rule. So then, what do you mean? In order to sleep with someone, in order to become a Sota, you have to sleep with someone first. The husband has to sleep with her first to become a Sota. Well, if the husband sleeps with her already, then there's no longer a Shemeres Yavam. That is now called Mamash Abal, as Rav says. You're kohen her for every husband type of connection that you have to a woman. The Baal, the Shemeres Yavam, and the Yavam have that relationship when they have relations for the first time, no matter what the context that relations were. So we don't understand this case now. If you're going to sleep with her already, then why would we not call you a Shemeres Yavam? We should call you a Baal, and therefore, of course, you can become a Sota right now if you accuse someone of being too close to your wife. When it says Kishmuel, because that was what Rav holds, but Shmuel argues, meaning Shmuel, I'm going to stand here right now because I'm a little tired. Shmuel holds that in reality, Shmuel says, a person who sleeps with his wife in a non-getting married, sleeps with the Shomer's Yavam, with the purpose of not being fully married, is partially married to them, but not fully married to them. They would still be called the Shomer's Yavam a little bit. How do we see this? The Amar Shmuel says, "Lo kana ela b'dvarim hamurim b'parsha." When the Torah describes the Yavam, it describes a few things that happen when you sleep together. It describes most notably that no longer do you do chalitza. Chalitza is no longer shayach. Now you'd have to get a get if you would break it up. And number two is that this child born of that relationship would inherit the land of the deceased brother. The deceased uncle, we'll call him. The child would inherit that land. And therefore, for those two things only, do we say that a sexual encounter between the Shomeres Yavam and the Yavam would make them married. If they don't have in mind to be married, l'shem marriage, and they sleep together anyways, like this is the way that Arusa would not be married yet if they sleep together with her fiancé. You have to wait till the chuppah. So too, a Shomeres Yavam and the Yavam would not be fully married if they sleep together, lo l'shem, according to Shmuel. Lola shame like marriage. But they would have a connection now regarding Yerusha. If the child born from that connection would now inherit the brother, and if they want to break up and not get fully married, they need to get now no longer do chalitza. But regarding everything else, like for example, if he's a Kohen to become tamei to her, only if it's his wife, there are certain things that they did not become fully connected with. And therefore, it's not fully a Baal yet, it's still called Shemeres Yavam. So the question that we asked again, if you remember, was if you had to sleep with the woman before you can call her Sota, then how is someone called a Shomeres Yavam? Because if he sleeps with her, that means he's called a Baal, according to Rav. So yeah, according to Rav he is. But according to Shmuel, there's still a process that has not been finished yet. You have to sleep with her l'shem marriage, according to Shmuel. If you sleep with her l'shem, just style him a good time. So that would connect you in certain ways, in that you're now connected that you need to have a get, no longer can you chalitza. You're now connected in that if you have a child with this lady, that child will now inherit the brother who passed away, his property. But regarding everything else that makes a husband and a wife together, you're not a husband and wife yet. Meaning you can't still have relations at this point in time until you have proper relations. You can't, if you're a Kohen, you can't become Tummy if she would pass away. That's only for a proper wife, full-fledged wife. We see over here that it's not full-fledged, so-called Shemeres Yavam, according to Shmuel. This is the last few lines, and we'll stop. This is Gemara. Ihachi. Sounds like over here that according to Rav, Rav says when you sleep with a Shemeres Yavam, which you have to do in order for her to become a Sota potentially, well then you're now considered a Baal. which means that a Shomeres Yavam would not be in the category of someone that you cannot give Mesota to, because there is no Shomeres Yavam case like that. It's called a Baal. And therefore, Rabbi Yoshia, who says only an Arusa do we say you do not give Mesota to, but Shomeres Yavam you would. The reason why is because you slept with her already, and now you're fully married. So why don't we say that Rav holds a Rabbi Yoshia? Because Rav says you're fully married, there's no Shomeres Yavam case. And Rabbi Yoshia also says that the Shomeres Yavam is not someone that you give Mesota to. And the reason why we're saying right now, according to Rav, is because she's not called Shomeres Yavam anymore. She's now called a wife, a full-fledged wife. So why don't we say that Rav holds like Rabbi Yoshia, that Shomeres Yavam is not someone that you can give Mesota waters to, because she's considered a full-fledged wife at that point in time. And Shmuel would hold like Rabbi Yonah's son. Rav would hold like Rabbi Yoshia, Shmuel would hold like Rabbi son, because Shmuel would hold that no, you're not full-fledged married yet. And therefore, a Shomeres Yavam also would not be able to be given Mesota. So Shmuel, who holds that you're not full-fledged married, you're still called Shomeres Yavam, potentially would hold like Rabbi Yonah's son, that both an Arusa and a Shomeres Yavam, both of them would not be able to drink the Mesota. And Rav would say like Rabbi Yonah, like Rabbi Yoshia, which is that there's no such thing as Shomeres Yavam becoming a Sota, because they're a full-fledged Baal already. And therefore, only an Arusa would be prohibited from drinking Mesota. But Shomeres Yavam is already considered a wife, full-fledged wife, and therefore would not be excluded from drinking the Mesota. So why don't we match up these commentaries, Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonah's son, with Rav and Shmuel? We want to make the chokes, if we can, be to kind of team them together to make them one big machokes, two versus two, instead of 1-1 and 1-1. The Gemara says it's not really a fair comparison. Rav will say back to you, don't pigeonhole me with Rabbi Yoshia. I'm even according to Rabbi Yonah's son, I would work. How? Says the Gemara, Amalekha Rav, Anna, I damri afilu Rabbi Yonah's son. My opinion, which says that they're full-fledged married husband and wife when you sleep together, even lolishay marriage. So I'm even according to Rabbi Yonah's son. He would work according to me as well. What does it mean? Rabbi Yonah's son over here said that a Shomeres Yavam does not drink the Mesota. Well, why not? According to Rav, you're full-fledged husband and wife. Says Rav, I'll tell you why not. Because me the itzrich krala ma'uta, the fact that Rabbi Yonah's son requires an extra pasuk to exclude a Shomeres Yavam, you know why? Because he holds that really you are like full-fledged husband and wife. It's a unique din by Sota. But why does he need a pasuk to exclude if not really married? The fact that he uses a pasuk, I mean, it's a krala muta, he's a pasuk to exclude Shomeres Yavam, that would only be because the ishto mal yasa, because that means because Rabbi Yonah's son looks at the Shomeres Yavam like a full-fledged husband and wife, and therefore he's a pasuk to exclude it. So Rav will tell you, don't therefore assume that I'm only quoting Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonah's son agrees with me also that a woman, that when a man and woman, Shomeres Yavam and Yavam sleep together, they're husband and wife fully. That's why you need a pasuk to say, but you can't become a sota anyways as a chiddush. It's a chiddush. But why do you need a chiddush like that? Because you assume they're fully married. Otherwise, you wouldn't need a pasuk a chiddush like that. That's what Rav will say. Don't limit me to Rabbi Yonah's son, Rabbi Yoshia. I'm even like Rabbi Yonah's son. And to end off with Shmuel, Amar Shmuel will say back the same thing. Shmuel will say back, Shmuel who holds that you're not fully married, you're still called Shomeres Yavam after the first Bia, if it was not l'shem in marriage. You're still called Shomeres Yavam. And therefore we said, oh, he must be like Rabbi Yonah's son. He says, not so fast. I'm like Rabbi Yoshia also. Shmuel Amarana, Damri Afilu Rabbi Yoshia. I mean, this is a Krala Rabuye. The fact that Rabbi Yoshia needs a pasuk to tell us that Shomeres Yavam would not be able to drink his wife from Beisota. It says over here, it says the word ish, that even a Shomeres, sorry, it would be able to. That even a Shomeres Yavam does give his wife to drink. Why need a pasuk for it? Unless you hold, that's not really fully married. If you're fully married, of course you don't need a pasuk to tell me the din that they drink Mesota. That's her husband and wife. The fact that you need a pasuk to tell me the chiddush, that Shomeres Yavam does in fact give his wife to drink, is a chiddush. And it's a chiddush because says Shmuel, they're not fully married. They're partially married. They're married regarding that he inherits, the son inherits the deceased brother, deceased uncle. And they're married, in fact, that you do get and not chalitza, but not fully married, which is why we need a pasuk to tell me, even not fully married, ish, you still do give the mesota to this not fully married woman, to this Shomeres Yavam. But the point is that you give her because they're not fully married yet, which as Shmuel says, like me, yeah, me the itzrich, kral, the rabuye, michlal, the lav, ishto, hu, klal, is not a full wife at all. And therefore, both Rav and Shmuel explain that their opinions would work within both Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yoshia. And we have two separate machloksim here. Machloks Rav and Shmuel regarding if a man sleeps with a woman who's his Shomeres Yavam, but they slept together when it was not l'shem kiddushin, would that be considered not l'shem yisuin, not l'shem marriage? Is that considered full-fledged husband and wife? Rav says yes. Shmuel says not yet. Machloks between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonah regarding a Shomeres Yavam, is she considered a wife in that she can do the Sota process or not? Or she's more like an Arusa, when we know the Arusa for sure does not go through the process of drinking Mesota if there's a Kinnan and Stira. We'll stop over here. We are going to be off tomorrow, meaning we're not.